We often have those goals. We have those dreams, desires. Whatever it may be, you might say, well, how in the world do I accomplish them? Some of you may have some health goals. You know, all you have to do is watch the commercials and, you know, something about losing weight, you know. All you got to do is eat the food and lose the weight, you know. And it's like, okay, well, there you go. Maybe it's losing weight. Maybe it's working out more. Got to work out 3 times a week or whatever it is. Or there may be some, I respect someone who says, I want to run a marathon. We have our 5K periodically in the fall, and we have a program, you know, from the couch to 5K. You know, you got to get up, you got to get going. So those of you who are anticipating that or running a marathon, more power to you. That's great. Some might just want to eat more healthy or go to the doctor less. Some may have financial goals. Get out of debt. Save more. Or maybe it's a goal to buy, fill in the blank, a new car or a new toy. Maybe go on the family dream vacation, whatever it may be. Maybe others are simply want to be more organized. Maybe there's someone here that says, I want to change the world. But the question remains, how are you able to do those things? Or the things that you would like to do? Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he posed that kind of question to God regarding overcoming a personal trial. The Scripture calls it a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. There's all kinds of speculation out there. I have some thoughts as to what it might be, but I think it was great that God didn't tell us what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, because if we did, if he did, then he'd say, well, you could say, well, my thorn in the flesh isn't like Paul's. It's different. So I might have an excuse or a problem. And so, you know, you couldn't identify. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul was given this thorn in the flesh in order to keep him humble. And Paul asked at least three times, that his thorn in the flesh be removed. And if some of you have been in the hospital, if you've experienced me coming and visiting you while you're in the hospital or maybe waiting for a surgery, I've read this passage, and I read verse 7 here. Excuse me, verse 9. And it said, God said, after Paul asked that his thorn in the flesh be removed, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength, my power, is made perfect in weakness. And oftentimes they'll say, that's all God said. That's all God said to Paul at that time. In essence, God was saying, Paul, you're asking the wrong question. You're asking that your trial be removed, where I want to give you strength to endure your trial, whether I remove it for you or not. But how could Paul endure? God says, by His sufficient grace. And by God's grace, we should be sufficient. How do you face whatever it is that you face? By God's sufficient grace. Now, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says, it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one should boast. So we understand that grace is given, salvation is given to us by grace. We don't deserve it. So there's no doubt about that, right? That you're saved by grace. You can't work for it, you can't earn it. However, this is what we want to emphasize and point out here today. You must remember that it is by God's grace that you are able to do, and you fill in the blank. In other words, by God's grace, you are able to do anything. It's only by His grace. So here's our take-home thought today. And I put this in the first person. God's grace enables me to do what He desires me to do. I want you to say that with me, okay? God's grace enables me to do what He desires me to do. Do you believe that? See, that's how do you do, fill in the blank. How do you do anything? It's by His grace that you're able to do whatever it is that He desires you to do. So whatever you face, whatever you plan, whatever comes your way, it is from God by His grace. He graciously orchestrates the events of your life for your good and His glory, and provides all that is necessary to enable you for all that is involved. It's by His grace. Now, grace is defined as unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve salvation. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It's undeserved. It's unmerited favor. Jerry Bridges describes your spiritual condition as spiritual bankruptcy. Now, it's not chapter 11. My understanding is chapter 11 bankruptcy, you structure things and pay it back. And what it does is it just gets the dogs off your tail. You know, it's just like, you know, you just get relief so that you can pay it back over a certain period of time, and they structure it and you pay it back. That's not the spiritual bankruptcy we're talking about. We're talking about chapter 7 bankruptcy, where you can't pay it back. It would be like going to the hospital. You're sick, you're ill, have an injury, whatever it may be. And maybe some of you experienced this. And you're there for a full year. Maybe you're burned severely or something. And you have surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. And you're just in constant hospital care. Oh, day in, day out for a full year. And then the bill comes. And you're like, oh my, it is millions of dollars. And there's just no way. There's just absolutely no way you could pay it. Why? Because you don't have the means to pay it. And that's what we have here in salvation. You are bankrupt. There's just absolutely no way you can pay your sin debt. But by grace are you saved through faith, believing that Jesus, that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why He came. We celebrate Christmas. He came, died on the cross, was buried. He rose again to pay for what you can't pay. It's by the shedding of blood, there's forgiveness. And He shed His blood on the cross for you. And that's by grace. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. And we all understand that. Someone put this little acrostic together, that grace is G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. He had mercy on you. And so He provided the means of grace through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, we understand that. There are many of you who have known and experienced that grace. If you have not, our appeal to you is to be reconciled to God. Surrender to God. Understand His grace. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Don't go from here today wondering, oh, I just wonder if that gift is mine. God wants you to have it. We want you to have that. We want to make that abundantly clear. That's a message the message of First Baptist Church is salvation by grace through faith. So we understand that, and many of you, if not most of you, you've responded to the grace of God. But here's what I want to emphasize today. And that is, you not only are saved by grace, but you live by grace. As a result of your salvation, it is only by the grace of God that you can continue to live. Salvation, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, the word believe there is something that happens at a particular time but has ongoing results. That's what we need to understand by this grace. You continue to live by the grace of God, and it's only by His grace that you can do that. When God gives you His grace, you are strengthened by His grace. You have His power to do what He asks of you to do. You live. The Christian life is not a matter of being saved by God's power and then living by your power. That's not salvation. Or that's not what the Christian life is. Because you can't do that. You don't have the power to do that. You don't have the strength to do that. You need God's grace to help you live for Him. Another way to look at God's grace is to understand it as His strengthening power. When God gives you His grace, He is enabling you, He is strengthening you to do what He desires you to do. We just sang about that. God, make us more aware of Your presence. Speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if there's an emphasis of my message here today, it is that you understand that as a believer, without Christ, you don't have Christ. And you need His grace to come to Christ. But then, as you, when you come to Christ as a believer, you have the power and presence of God in you to do what God desires of you to do. When God gives you His grace, He's enabling you, He's strengthening you to do what He desires. You don't have the strength, you don't have the ability, you don't have the means. He, by His grace, provides it for you. So I want to look, first of all, at some effects of grace. Grace affects several things. First of all, your salvation. We already talked about that, all right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Grace also affects your security in Christ. Romans chapter 7 talks about Paul and his struggle with sin. And I think there's a good argument that his struggle in sin was before he came to Christ. And then as he came to Christ, through Christ, there's the answer. And in chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's grace. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. And for a believer, I just pray that you understand that. You don't have to live the way you once lived, whatever it is that may be dogging you. You know what? Christ set you free. You know, we sing some of those songs we just sang. It's like, yes, you know, I'm free from sin. I don't have to continue to sin. In the flesh, I struggle. Don't you? You do. But what we're saying here is, Lord, make us more aware of Your presence and Your grace in our lives to give us the strength and enablement. So here we have your security in Christ. Now listen, you didn't work for salvation. So you don't work for your security either, or to stay secure. Security of your salvation is based upon the power of God. My favorite security passage is 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, where it says that we have, you have, and you and I have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Not by you, but kept in heaven for you by His power, not yours. The power of God. So that's grace. That's grace. I stumble and fall. And yet my salvation is secure. Why? Because of the grace of God. So grace affects your security in Christ. Grace affects your ability to live faithfully for the Lord. And now, as I mentioned these passages, you're certainly welcome to look them up, or they're in YouVersion as well. But Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, those who believe, training us or teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. See, the grace of God teaches you then to live faithfully for the Lord and enables you to do that. That's grace. You can't do it. You need the grace of God in order to do that. So grace enables you to live faithfully for the Lord. Grace enables you then to wait for Christ's return. In verse 13 of that same passage, Titus 2, verse 13, the grace of God teaches you to live faithfully for the Lord, a godly life. Verse 13, waiting for, or while we are waiting for, the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, and then he elaborates on grace, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It's grace. As you wait for the coming of the Lord. We look forward to that day. Don't know when it's going to be. How do we endure? How do you stay faithful to the end? When I was at Cedarville, it wasn't my graduation, but I heard Warren Wiersbe, one of my, if not my favorite preacher of all time. he spoke at this graduation. I stayed to listen to him preach. And he was talking about how is it that when you graduate, you've had the discipline of school and everything. He says, how is it that 20 years down the road, you can look back and say, you know what? I've been faithful. How could you possibly do that? And he said, very simply, one day at a time. You know, God help me to live for you by your grace today. And then you wake up tomorrow and you pray that, God, help me to live for you to your glory by grace today, just like you helped me yesterday. And if you stumble and fall, oh God, forgive me, and I pray that I would be faithful and encourage me and strengthen me to live by grace this day. And then, before you know it, it's a week, it's a month, it's a year, it's 20 years. You do so by the grace of God. And it's by His grace you have that ability to live for the Lord till He returns. He enables you then to endure hardship. We talked about that, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Whatever it is that you're going through or might go through, I just want to encourage you as you look ahead to 2019 and beyond. Right now, things may be hunky-dory. But next week, you might come down with something or have a challenge. Remember, by the grace of God, I can endure. By His grace, He helps you endure hardship. His grace enables and empowers you to do His will. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7. Paul is writing, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you were not lacking in any spiritual gift. That's grace. You're not lacking in anything. Why? You don't deserve it. You don't work for it. By His grace, He has enabled you. He has strengthened you to do His will. And He will sustain you to the end. Verse 8 says, God's grace enables you to overcome bitterness. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, again, isn't that interesting? He challenges you to strive. Strive. Work at living at peace with everyone. And for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. How can you strive? How can you do this? By the grace of God. And see to it, verse 15, that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Some of you have been hurt. You know, and it hurts, right? And maybe your heart has drifted toward bitterness. And here, God is saying, don't allow that to happen. How are you going to do that? How are you going to keep from doing that? You're going to say, oh God, help me. And by your grace, give me the strength to overcome the anger. A friend of mine called bitterness, anger that lingers. Help me to overcome this in relationship to another, or in relationship to this situation, or even in relationship to God. There may be someone who you're bitter at God because of the deal that you've been dealt in life. Say, God, forgive me. And then ask for help to develop that forgiving spirit. And it's God's grace that enables you to do that. God's grace enables and provides help in your time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, that's kind of a big blanket. Whatever your need may be, you cry out to God for His grace to help you in that time of need. His grace enables and empowers you to serve. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, by the grace of God I am. This is Paul writing. By the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. He acknowledged the grace of God to enable him to be the servant that he was. To be the witness that he was. So when you say, you know what, I need to be a better witness. I need to witness to my neighbor. And you know what? It's God's grace that enables you to do that. God's grace. Did you ever think of His grace as enablement to pray? Sometimes it's just hard to pray, God, but I need to pray. It's God's grace enabling you to do that. He enables you through suffering. He enables you through sacrifice. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, where we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. How do you do that? By His grace. God enables you to fulfill every responsibility God asks of you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God gives you the grace to fulfill every responsibility that He asks of you. So we can say, okay, are you convinced after hearing all of that that God's grace is essential and sufficient to doing what you know you ought to do? Just a quick introduction to all of this to say, wow, I can only do whatever lies before me in 2019 and beyond if the Lord doesn't return. I can do that by the grace of God. But there's another passage that I'd like to call your attention to that mentions the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I would like you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're taking notes, you can jot down verses 1 through 7. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is a book of correction. And he's writing to them, and he gives his testimony. And that was 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, he's writing a note of encouragement and so on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's writing to the Corinthian believers, and he's writing about a group of people who were very poor, materially poor, financially poor. And there were these churches in Macedonia who were filled with a bunch of poor people, right? So that's the context of this passage. And he's writing to the Corinthian believers. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." So he's talking about the grace of God given among the churches in Macedonia for a severe test of affliction. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. The church in Jerusalem was struggling because of the persecution. And so the churches in Macedonia heard about this and they said, man, we want to help those people, man. We don't have much means. We're not rich or anything like that. But please let us give to help that church in Jerusalem. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, those in Jerusalem. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in all earnestness and in your love, in our love for you, see that you excel in this grace, this act of grace also. By God's grace, they gave beyond their ability. And Paul then is challenging the Corinthian believers. Now, you excel in this act of grace as well. So God's grace enables you to give. When you understand that it is by God's grace that you have all that you have, all of your possessions, all your money, all your abilities, all of your skills, all of your talents, all your experiences, all your relationships, even your time, and the air that you breathe is by the grace of God. It's all by His grace. And when you understand that, then you humbly manage everything out of a grateful heart in order to bring glory to His name. And you give back to the Lord out of a grateful heart. I wanted to today to establish the nature of God's grace. But remember our take-home thought. Let's say it together here, all right? Our take-home thought. God's grace enables me to do what He desires me to do. Whatever that is, it's by God's grace. He enables you to do that. I think a very clear passage that helps understand this is Galatians 2:20. I, Paul is writing here again, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, in other words, I've got to do the living. I've got to live this life. God didn't kick you out of bed this morning. You had to get up. But how did you get up? By the grace of God. He gave you the breath, the strength to get up out of bed. But the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Salvation that enables you to continue on. It's grace. You do the doing, you do the living, but it's only by His grace and His enablement that you can do that. So that if you have any victories, hey, I got up this morning. I ran a marathon, or whatever it is. To God be the glory, amen? He gets the glory. And yet, if there are any failures, you take responsibility and you say, God, teach me through this so that I can grow by Your grace. Again, He's at work in that to strengthen you, to teach you for His purpose. Sometimes we don't even understand His purposes for the, but it's again, it's by His grace that you can grow through even the failures. David Jeremiah says, you initiate a continuing cycle of strengthening grace as you act upon His grace in obedience. There's obedience in the Word of God. But it's only by His grace that you can obey. And God's grace is inexhaustible. It builds as it is exercised. Apply this to whatever goals that you have for 2019. Your fitness routines, your financial goals, your budgeting, your habits. And you know, when you first start, it might be fun. Okay, I'm going to work out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And January 1st, that didn't come on a Wednesday, so I'm going to wait till the 2nd, right? Because if that's Tuesday, we're just going to enjoy New Year's Day. But yeah, all right, I'm going to the gym. January 2nd, here we go. Man, it's like, oh, this is great. Yeah, hey, isn't this great, everybody? You're giving everybody a high five, you're lifting weights, and it's just, oh, man. Whew, that was great. That was wonderful. You go home, you know, and then you wake up on Thursday, it's like, oh, man, oh, that hurts. It's like, oh, man. And then it's Friday. All right, yeah, let's go. Oh, man, it's just not quite as fun as I thought it was going to be. You see? It may start out, whatever it is. It may be exercise, it may be a diet, it may be spending time in the Word of God. At first, you know, it might be so very exciting, you know. wow, look at all the things that God's teaching me through His Word. She's like, man, it's just like, I just can't get enough of it. And then it just becomes a little more routine and you get into so-and-so begat so-and-so. And so it's like, oh man, what did I sign up for? It becomes more of a challenge. How can you get through? How can you continue on? By God's grace. It grows, it builds as it is exercised. And that's the way God's grace is. So here's how it works. All right, first of all, you face a challenge regarding doing God's will. I know this is God's will. I need to do it. All right, whatever it is. Take better care of my body. Take care of my finances. Give to the Lord. Be disciplined and fill in the blank, whatever it is. Okay? You face a challenge regarding doing God's will. Then you study God's Word regarding the matter. You say, okay, now what does God have to say about this? I encourage you to do that. What does God say about what I'm setting out to do? Does He say anything about it? And then you pray and ask for God's help. God, I know. I tried exercise last January 2nd. And I just struggled with that. So, God, I know that You want me, whatever. You read the Scriptures. And you study God's Word regarding the matter, and then you pray and ask God's help. God, help me. I need Your help. I struggle with this. This sin in my life just keeps, it just really continues to get me down. God, help me discipline. I just cry out for Your help and Your strength. And then you, by faith, trusting in His strengthening grace, do what He desires you to do. Praying all the way through it. God, this is difficult. I can't do it in my strength. I need You. I need Your enablement. And I ask You to help. And the Holy Spirit enabling me, strengthening me to do this. And then You do it. Yes. Oh, yeah, Wednesday was fun, but Friday was a little more difficult. But I was able to do it, whatever it was. And so you just praise God and you thank Him for His grace and that enabled you and give Him the glory for any success and ask Him to teach you regarding any failure. Take responsibility. And then you trust Him for His continuing grace to remain faithful to His will. And so there you have it. You know, you look to Him through it all, again, so that you understand that you need to be more aware of His presence in your life. Because He is there. He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it's by His grace that He's with you there. Now, I got to thinking about this as I was preparing the message, and I thought, okay, but how do you respond? How should I respond? How should we respond to this matter of grace? It's great information. And I hope what we just said here with this list of things can help you. But I think a heart response here, first of all, is a matter of humility. To realize, wow, you know what? I can't do it. I can't be faithful without the grace of God. You see, understanding grace dissolves pride. James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, think about that next time someone doesn't recognize you for something great you did. You know, man, I cleaned the toilets and nobody even noticed, you know. Now, wait a minute. If you did so by the grace of God and to His glory, it doesn't matter whether anybody notices or not, right? To God be the glory. And so humility is just an awesome way to respond to the grace of God. Another one is confidence. Another way to respond is with confidence. Think of Philippians 4:13. Can you say it together with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. That's grace. He gives you the strength to do everything He desires for you to do. He doesn't say, bench press 400 pounds. And He doesn't command me to go out. He doesn't give me the strength to bench press 400 pounds unless that's something He requires of me to do. God, I can do all things through Christ. Everything that God requires or desires of me to do, I can do through Christ who gives me the strength. So that's confidence. Man, you don't have to be defeated as a Christian. I can do this. Why? Because I have the grace of God, and God's grace is sufficient during my time of need. For His power is made perfect in my weakness. You see? Wow. Man, that should really help you this next week when you have to get up and get going for whatever it is that you have to do. And all of this, another response is to respond with grateful praise. Listen, you are under the watchful care of your loving Lord. He desires the best for you. Someone said, God is too loving to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Isn't that good? Too loving to be unkind, too wise to make mistakes. He has your best interest at heart. And so we respond with grateful praise. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your strength, your enablement, which all leads to a willingness to give back to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. A measure of giving. How do you give back to the Lord? By serving. But serving, giving back to the Lord through serving, takes time and energy. There are some men who put up new lights. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you noticed. You can see me better. That may not be a good thing. But anyway, there's just all of this work to do this and get them all programmed. It took several days, and they're still tweaking it. It took time and energy for them to do that. They gave of their Christmas vacation time, their holiday time, in order to do that. It took time, it took energy, it took strength. It takes energy to serve. So whatever it is you do, it takes energy to do that. You give back to the Lord through serving. You give back to the Lord through use of your talents, your gifts. That takes discipline. Daryl and Deb, they didn't come here this morning and say, you know what, I think I'd like to try to play the keyboard. You know, I mean, if that was me, you know, we would empty this place in a hurry. All right? But our musicians, man, you know, they have spent time, they have disciplined themselves in order to use their gifts, skills, and abilities. That takes discipline. Serving takes time and energy. Using your gifts, skills, and abilities takes discipline. Giving back to the Lord financially is a little bit different because it's an expression of faith and dependence. And I'm not taking away from any of the others. But I think giving is a way for the 21st century Christian to express his faith in a very tangible way. I'm not saying the other ways don't express faith. But it expresses dependence and faith. All of this is accomplished by the grace of God, right? Serving, using gifts, skills, and abilities, giving to the Lord financially. It's all by the grace of God. And giving back to the Lord, however it may be difficult, especially when you're struggling. Struggling physically, struggling financially. But giving back to the Lord is God's will for you. And you do so by the strength of His grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Father, your amazing grace saves us, but sustains us, enables us, strengthens us. Help us, Lord, I pray. to grasp these truths and bring glory to Your name in humility. So with heads bowed and eyes closed here today, I encourage you to fill out a connection card from the pew in front of you or on YouVersion or through our website. And just jot down how you may be challenged. Maybe there's a commitment that you're making before the Lord. And you're saying, God, I know I need to do this. You have convicted me here today or maybe even prior to today. But I realize that I can do this by Your grace. And if you wouldn't mind sharing that commitment, we, as pastors, you can check for pastors only. We'll pray for you. If you have questions about the whole matter of grace and salvation, we want to help you with that. After communion, we'll give you the opportunity to respond. And if you'd like to talk with someone, pray with someone, you can do so at that time or after the service. I'll be around to talk at the back of the worship center as well. So, Father, help us, strengthen us, and as we take this offering now, may we realize and understand that as we give, it's a measure of Your grace, enabling us to do so. May we give out of grateful hearts to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Was blind, but now I see.
gather for our time of communion, we recognize that we gather together by God's grace. It is by God's grace we are who we are personally, but even as a church. And that's what communion is, a corporate event that we do together as a church, as we recognize those who are believers. And so there's we do all of this by God's grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And so it behooves us to say, okay, I need to, by God's grace, examine my heart as to my salvation. Are you certain of salvation through Jesus Christ? And the second, that's a measure of grace. The second one is, okay, I'm saved, but is there any known unconfessed sin that needs to be settled before the Lord? And so you settle that before God, again, by His grace and because of His grace. And then we celebrate together. And so we'd like to have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll ask Ben Bond to ask the blessing on the bread. While the elements then are being passed, I encourage you to focus on what Jesus did for you, and a great passage to do that is Isaiah chapter 53. So, and then we'll partake together. Let's pray, and then Ben will ask the blessing on the bread.
Father, we don't deserve to be here, but for your love and your grace that was displayed in the sacrifice of your Son on the cross for us. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the hope that that brings to us. As we have this First Communion here as a church of 2019, we would ask, Father, that as we go throughout our lives this year, that you would arrange appointments with those around us and give us the courage, give us the grace, the words to be able to communicate your message to those around us, and let your Holy Spirit work in their lives and do the miraculous work that can only be done by your grace in their lives. Again, we thank you for this bread that's a symbol of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. In your Son's name, amen.